you said that no one wants war, right? And I would agree with that. I think my issue is that there has been war going on for the Palestinians, but only for the Palestinians for a long time. So we as Israelis, we feel war when there is official war. When there's operations, even, we don't feel a war. That's why we call them operations, because it does not feel like war to us. So we don't call it a war, even though for the other side, there is no difference between an operation and a war. It feels the same. It feels like bombs. It feels like death. And I think, sorry.
Thank you.
And I think when this is going on for so long, and when you really understand the impact that this has on a society, to be basically in a constant war for decades, for generations, to have, you know, Israeli intelligence even spying on you, arresting your relatives for speaking out, it causes a lot of, you cannot basically grow up, let's say, normal. So it's very easy for us as Israelis to judge different parts of Palestinian resistance, to say that this is violent, this is not okay, this is, your resistance should be this way and not this way. And I get where this is coming from. But I think if you look, for example, about the Israeli reaction to October 7th, which was very, which was an immediate call for revenge, right? It was an immediately a call to, I don't care if they kill everyone, they, no matter what, we need to get the hostages back, right? But then if we can understand how this happened to our own society after one day, I think we can understand how similar processes can happen after 75 years and, you know, through all the violence that they experienced in their own society. And I think when we can understand how these emotions work, that when we are powerless for so long, when we experience violence for so long, we can understand this. And we really, I think the reason why this has gone so, let's say, violent, just full stop violent in general, is because Palestinian resistance in general was ignored for so long. Palestinian efforts for basically for independence, for autonomy, to stop the violence. For example, how many Israelis spoke out about the March of Return protests in Gaza that were for almost a year, and more than 30,000 Palestinians have been disabled as a result of that. Not because they presented immediate danger to anyone. Yeah, and this is not even talking about the ones who were killed. And there was not any response from the Israeli society of, hey, this is, you know, there's something going on, we actually need to solve this. And still to this day, there is not any real discussion, I would argue not any discussion at all in Israeli society about ending the siege, about, you know, the fact that most of the Gaza population are refugees who lived in what is today Ashkelon and Yafo and so many places that they can see it across the border, but they've never in their life able to go there and live there, just based on who they are. And there is no conversation in the Israeli public about solving this, about the fact that, imagine what it does to a person to be expelled from their village, in most cases after a massacre, lose everything that they have, their house, their bank account confiscated, their lands confiscated, and then you're brought by a bus, which is what often happened, literally brought by a bus from the Israeli military to Gaza, specifically to Gaza, not as a coincidence, but to Gaza, as a refugee without nothing, and then that's it. And then you have to find a life for yourself. And you're living between these very close borders, and you have to now make up with the fact that this is reality. And the other side actually is very fine with this reality, and it sees your land as it doesn't even recognize the fact that it was yours ever. And I think when we really realize how deeply violent the situation has been for Palestinians, I think this really kind of changes the perspective on Palestinian resistance. Because when you understand how bad things are, then it's not about even to it's not in the language of justification. It's in the language of understanding. And if we actually want to prevent it, the only way that we can prevent it is to actually, you know, give people hope, to give people autonomy. We cannot, you know, you cannot kill resistance with more and more bombs. We've been doing it for 75 years, and it's you can't kill a nation like this. There's millions of people under Israeli law that do not get any political rights. There is no war, or there's no amount of control that can make resistance not appear in this kind of situation. It's inevitable. And if we were in the same situation, we would also resist. I mean, I know this for a fact. If we were confined to a certain area with Palestinian police going around, breaking into our homes at night, kidnapping our siblings, putting us in jail, having us not be able to have any Jewish symbols because it's seen as terrorist symbols, we would also resist. It's just inevitable.